One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. You're listening to Hypernian Radio. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen, and our old friend, personal injury attorney, Carol Ann Gallagher. Out here, another beautiful night by Lizzie McNeil's on a Wednesday. Come on by and join us. It's terrific out here. Tonight is our 31st show. We're even going to count last week's show. We got rained out, but we were here. So our 31st show, and we're all very proud to be here and to continue our case of honoring and interviewing our Irish first responders, because they are the epitome of our Irish mythological warriors in modern times. And that's what it's all about, discovering your roots and getting to know the mythical heroes of our day right on the street, and that is the Irish cops and firefighters and paramedics. And tonight we have a captain. Captain Brendan McCrudden is on the show. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor.
So great to have you. Now, 25 years as a cop.
That's correct, sir.
You started as a CHA cop?
Yes, with the Chicago Housing Authority Police.
How do you go right into that?
Well, I was interested in law enforcement, and actually one of my brother's friends was a Chicago Housing Authority police officer.
Oh.
And he told my brother about it. My brother was not interested in following the law enforcement path, but knew I was interested, mentioned it to me. And so I went and took the test. I found out about it on the last day, actually. Applied on the very last day that the eligibility was open, and took the test. And they were going through the process very quickly. So between the time I took the test and was hired, it was literally only a few months.
Yeah.
Sometimes other departments it could stretch for years, actually.
Do they give you any training before they throw you into the CHA?
Well, we did. We went through the Chicago Police Academy as well.
Oh, did you?
We used the same instructors. We used the same reports as the Chicago Police.
Yeah.
We used a lot of their facilities. And, there's a good, sometimes a very good relationship with the Chicago Police, and sometimes a little a little bit of animosity or a little bit of a challenge sometimes.
And you did a couple years there, and then where'd you go?
Well, when they started with the plan that they were going to tear down the public housing buildings, the high rises, the department was honest with us. They said, well, a couple of different things could happen. We might merge with the city, and there was actually, they took steps to try and merge the departments. They said, but that's not a guaranteed thing. The department could last in some shape or form, or it might be disbanded. So, don't put your eggs in this basket. Try and find other law enforcement employment. So at the time, the Chicago Police were offering a test, and the suburbs were offering a test as well. And so I took the tests for both. The Chicago Police was a slower hiring process.
Yeah.
It's a big, much bigger department. And
what year was this?
This was, I started with CHA in 1994.
Okay.
So in 1997 was when they were starting to tear down the projects. And the suburbs, since I was already state certified, I already been through the training academy, they said, you could start tomorrow. So I ended up picking those five departments that we were testing. Rolling Meadows called me first. At the time, I didn't even know where Rolling Meadows was. They called me. I said, sure, I'm interested. And I didn't
want to pay.
I didn't want to sound off, totally ignorant. So I hung up the phone with them, and I went, and this was the day before, before the cell phones and the GPS and everything like that. And I actually went to the gas station, and I bought a map. And I looked.
Where the hell is knowing Rolling Meadows?
And I actually did know where it was, because it was right next to Arlington Heights, which is Arlington Park Racetrack. My dad used to take me out there for the horse races as a kid.
Perfect.
Yes.
And now, you grew up in Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish over on the north side.
That's correct, yes.
And then went to Lane Tech.
I did.
How many kids in your family? Your mom was from Dundalk, you said?
Yes, Dundalk in County Louth, and my dad was from Newry in County Down.
Oh, no kidding. Both parents were from Ireland. That's terrific,
And funny enough, they
So you're first generation, basically.
Yes. And they met. They never, even though the towns are right down the road from each other, basically, they actually met here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they met and ended up getting married and buying a house very close to where they met. And that that was Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. And and my mom still lives over there, not too far from the Abbey Pub. Some of the listeners might be familiar with the Abbey Pub.
Oh, sure.
It's very close.
I miss the Abbey Pub.
I do as well. Yeah. I do as well.
Actually, Breege and Tom Looney are good friends of mine. Yeah.
I know them. I know they're at the family as well, too.
Oh, yeah. They're great people.
Hockey fanatics.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's because their kids are all...
They all play hockey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So... how many kids in your family with you?
One brother and one sister, and they're actually both here to
that's terrific.
For support. And my mom's here as well. My sister's.
Is she really? Yeah.
Yeah. My sister's in from North Carolina.
Oh, that was your mom?
Visit.
I just met your mom. She said she sees me on the Irish whatever.
That's
in the paper. Okay.
And we've seen you at Irish books and media and things the Heritage Center. Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you have a long Irish history. Is your dad still alive?
He's not. He passed approximately just about 20 years ago, actually.
God rest. Yes. So how's mom doing? Is she living alone or what?
She's doing well, but my brother and I are both still in the city with our family, so we go over there on a regular basis, and she comes out to us with us to events, and we try to include her on everything. She stays very active with church groups and little community groups, so staying active.
What
and
church
that keeps
group
you
is she with? Is she
still with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but she's also she likes St. Benedict's as well, so she'll go down on... So certain days
Billy's
to go to
kids go to school
oh,
there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
So when you just made captain recently.
Just about a month ago, yes.
Yeah. And were you a lieutenant or something before
I was,
that?
Yeah, I was a lieutenant for about 3 years, approximately 3 years before that. And I'm currently working, assigned as a captain in the 9th District, which is 31st and Halsted.
Oh.
3120 South Halsted.
Bridgeport.
So Bridgeport, yes. And it's a very big district, actually. It starts at Chinatown. And it goes all the way down to 55th Street, and it'll go from the Dan Ryan all the way west out to Kedzie. So very big district, very high population, and a little bit of everything in that district.
I bet. How long have you been there?
Well, I worked there before as a lieutenant.
Yeah.
But then I had the chance to become the tactical lieutenant in the 25th District.
Yeah.
So I worked in the 9th District, transferred to 25 to be the tech lieutenant, and that's the Grand Central District. And then when the chance came to be captain... The opportunity was there for the 9th District, and the commander was actually asked if I'd be interested in coming back there, and I'm very grateful that he did because I really like the district. There's a lot of great people there.
Tactical is like undercover and stuff, right?
Not so much undercover, but we're the ones in the unmarked cars and the plain clothes.
Yeah.
So the focus on that is for the gangs, drugs, the shootings and robberies and things like that, and then search warrants, anything intelligence that's driven from that, picking up any fugitives, people wanted on arrests, I mean on warrants or anything like that.
And so altogether you have 25 years in as a police officer.
Just recently hit my 20-year mark with Chicago Police.
Oh, good for you.
And then I had 5 years altogether with the old Chicago Housing Authority in the suburbs there.
Now, one of the things we were talking about before the show started is that, and this is one of the reasons we do the show, there's a bad culture out there, an anti-police culture. And just in the last couple of days, there's a video that went viral in New York City of these guys just throwing buckets of water on the cops and everything. And, you know, my first inclination is shoot those guys, you know. But, of course, that would create havoc. But it's part of the sickness of society with guys like de Blasio, the mayor there. The police, it's just awful. And we're big believers here in, you know, Blue Lives Matter and backing the police. And so you got any comments on that about the situation in New York City? Or?
Well, I didn't see that video itself. I did hear about it.
Yeah.
And I read a little bit of the review of it, but I didn't see the actual footage. And I think that in many places throughout the country, you will find officers that will say that because they're worried about negative media publicity, or if they take some sort of action, they'll be judged as reacting too strongly or using excessive force, or they're worried about a lawsuit,
or
indicted for, you know, taking the wrong step in the heat of a moment or something like that. So I think that does exist out there, which is too bad. I mean, of course, we'd like to see a lot more public support, but just mentioning the 9th District, I want to say that's a district, even with its trouble spots and its gang problems, there is a huge amount of police support in
that
district.
Good. Well, Bridgeport,
Chinatown,
of course,
there's Bridgeport, McKinley Park, Bryant Park, Gage Park, Fuller Park. There's a lot of folks who are not shy about saying we support the police, we're glad you're here. And even some of the
people
worst
need to do more of that, I think. You know that?
It doesn't get out.
You guys need to hear it, you know? Yeah.
Actually, there was some of the, every so often the kids from the schools. They'll bring in pictures they drew, you know, with crayons or little paintings they did.
Yeah.
Thank you, officer. Thank you, police officers.
Oh, good.
We appreciate what you do. And then they'll actually put them up in the wall at the hallways of the district. So as officers walk by, they're reminded, hey, there's people.
Somebody's on our side.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, the media paints that picture that, you know, everyone's against the police, and that's absolutely
well. They certainly are, the media.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Some of them are. But
tell me about it.
But there's people like yourself. You're the media, and here you are, and here you're getting the word out, and we appreciate that.
Now, you got any stories you want to tell us? Any war stories?
There's a lot of different stories, but actually, since we started mentioning the old Chicago Housing Authority police, I'll start with one that I kind of found funny about that. And even in the worst days, you know, Chicago Housing Authority with some of the poorest, most violent areas of the city, even then, people would thank us. They'd had to be a little more low profile about it, but we'd be in the stairwells or the hallways, and someone would come by and just grab us by the arm and say, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Appreciate what you do. Now, they wouldn't feel comfortable with the gang presence, you know, organize a parade or a party for us or anything like that. But they would tell us, and I always made it a point to tell other officers that, hey, those are the good people that we don't see all the time because they're not the ones that are out there causing the problems. They're the ones that are trying to just raise their kids and go to work and, you know, do the best they can. And we don't see them. We see the knuckleheads. We see the criminals. We see the offenders. And sometimes that skews your perspective. You think, oh, everyone's like that. And you got to really step back sometimes and remember there's good people out there. But one little funny or amusing story from the old Chicago Housing Authority days, when they were rehabbing one of the apartments, there was such a gang presence in the buildings that they would terrorize the residents and even the workers and the council and things like that.
Yeah.
So the workmen were rehabbing this apartment for a family to move in. So the gang went there and they said, well, we want the keys to the apartment. This is going to be our gang hangout.
We're going
to
take over.
Exactly. We're going to take over. Well, of course, the workers were like, we can't do that. You know, we're responsible to get this place rehabbed and get a new family in here. So they threatened them a little bit, and the guys were like, we're not turning over the keys. So they went home for the day. The gang members came back that night and just trashed the apartment. It was, you know,
the work they had done.
Yeah, they poured paint all over the cans of paint that they were going to freshly paint the walls. They poured it all over the appliances and just wrecked the place, everything down the sink and in the toilets. A terrible mess. But, you know, the arch criminals that they were, the footprints were leading out of the apartment in the paint. So the workmen called us and they said, hey, we know who these guys are, and they give us a description. And not being super detectives that we were able to follow the footprints.
Oh, right to the apartment?
Down the hallway, up the stairs,
kidding.
Down the other hallway, right to a doorway. So sure enough, we get into the...
How'd you find me?
Yeah, I was shrewd detective work. So we knocked on the door, and they opened it up and let us in. We said who we were looking for, and the mother said, well, she called him out. He was in the back bedroom, and he came out. He was wearing... He didn't have any shoes on. He was dressed, but no shoes. And he said, hey, you're coming with us. And he said, can I get my shoes first? Absolutely, you can get your shoes.
So he gets covered in
the paint. Yes. Please, yes, put those on. So we walked him out, and then we inventoried those shoes as evidence.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of the case.
You leave those at the station. Yeah. That's funny.
I thought that was kind of funny. We had some laughs about that. And again, it caused a ton of extra work for the workmen, but it was just funny that the trail down the hallway, up the stairs. That was good.
We had there's a guy, a retired police officer, Larry Casey, has a book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Stories of Chicago Police Officer. Actually, when we got rained out last week, we put him on again, and he has over 130 little stories in his book.
I think I have that book.
Oh,
I read
it's terrific.
That, And
you know, some of them are funny, and some of them are heartbreaking, and that's the amazing thing about police work is there's still a redemptive quality about the people you meet in the most trying circumstances, and they kind of restore your faith in mankind, you know, even after all the horrible things that they do and everything. So we're with you there.
I appreciate that.
What's your day like when you get – are you working days or what's your deal?
Usually the evening shift. I usually start at 5 o'clock as a captain.
Yeah.
Before as a lieutenant, I was – I rotate. I work some days and I work some evening shifts. As a captain, it's mostly the evening shift, but I'm there to help out the commander. So if he needs me on a day to cover for something or come in early, then I'll do that. In all of the districts now, we have what's called the SDSC rooms, the Strategic Decision Support Centers. That's where the new technology is the ShotSpotter technology.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hennigan was telling us about that and all the cameras and everything.
The pod cameras.
Yeah.
And the plate readers and everything that's sort of linked in there. Sort of like a little intel center for the district.
Yeah.
So I think part of the reason is, well, two reasons. The 9th District has a very good SDSC room. The crew, the sergeant that's in there, Sergeant Stacy Kraft, and the officers that work there are great. But it's also not too far from headquarters. So if there's a delegation that's coming in, visiting from another country
sure.
or another
headquarters at 35th Street, you mean, yeah.
Right down the road, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's a quick, it's easy to get them over there. So
right.
recently we had the delegation in from Germany.
Oh.
We had an Israeli delegation that came in just to see what we're doing.
Yeah.
See how we're putting this technology together. And the officers are able to pull up examples right there where they're like, hey, there was a shot spotter. The officers track the camera. They see the guy with the gun. They're radioing to the squad cars. The squad cars are showing up and catching these guys. So
and you can watch it all on video right there.
Some of it's caught on
as
video.
As it happens.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Sometimes the cameras are just absolutely in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this was back in the 25th District. Again, 25th District has a top-notch SDSC room as well. They had the camera. This made big news, actually, just not too long ago, where, unfortunately, the woman, she was holding her baby. Gang members showed up, got out of the car, opened fire.
I saw that.
Trying to hit
I
the other
I saw that
gang
video.
Members. Yeah. So that was from the SDSC room in the 25th District. That happened to be at the right place at the right time.
She rolled under the car, kind of, at the back of the car.
She was hit. She tried to hand the baby off to someone.
Yeah.
And everyone's fleeing the scene. And unfortunately, you know, she went down and tried to.
And then the guys pull up and they throw her in the car and take her to the hospital.
Took her to the hospital, yes. But
the
SDSC room with the camera being just in the right place at the right time there, they were able to focus right in on the plate.
They saw the whole crime, everything.
It was radioed ahead, and they reached out. Those guys were in custody within a couple of hours.
No
kidding.
And
were both charged with the murder in that case. So, again, that's something where that just that fast.
Now, where did that happen?
That was in the 25th District on the 1200 block of Mason. So just north of Division Street.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So busy area.
You see that stuff and it's frightening because it's like, it was in the morning or something like that.
It was early in the morning. Yes.
Yeah.
And it just showed the disregard that these guys had because.
They don't care. Yeah.
Right. They're trying to shoot the gang members, but here's a woman standing there holding
with a baby.
And they were just unloading on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was one of the good resolutions to that. A tragic event, but at least the bad guys were caught. Swiftly.
Now, you know, everybody's talking about gun control and everything. Bad guys don't care about gun control.
They don't.
If they get a gun, they're just going to get a gun.
Right.
They're not looking for a license or anything.
No.
So you can scream all you want about gun control. The bad guys are still going to have guns. You know,
they will.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Even going back to the days of Al Capone.
I mean,
our city's famous for infamous, and I should say, for some of that stuff. And that's continued where, like you say, the bad guys, they're not going to go get their, you know, registered weapon and everything like that. They're going to do it illegally. But we have seen some of the, with the concealed carry, where some good people have had a chance
to defend themselves. That's great. Yeah.
Or to protect somebody else. And I'm all for good people protecting themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because unfortunately, we can't be there all the time, you know.
You know, when Rahm Emanuel was mayor, and he's not one of my favorite people, and you'll see that in my book.
he would act like
we're taking guns off and it's like that's not the problem, you know. It's a human behavior problem more than anything. Or my parish priest used to say it's a problem because there's no fathers in the houses and stuff, you know. And that's one of the big reasons for the violence, the gangs, and all that stuff.
Sometimes the gangs serve as that father figure.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's the uncle who's in the gang.
Yeah.
The father is locked up. And the other older gang members, they're recruiting these young members, unfortunately, which is a sad cycle.
So do you guys, now you're the captain, are you the captain of that district? Or?
There's only one captain. They're stuck with me for the moment.
No kidding.
Right.
Now,
one captain per district.
So... When did you get out and become the captain just about a year ago?
No, not even. About a month, just over a month ago, 5 weeks ago.
So when you come in, do you say, all right, what gang activity do we have here? Let's hear, give me the whole, where are the hot spots and all that stuff? You go through all that stuff?
And having, thankfully, I worked in the 9th District before, so I knew some of the areas.
Yeah.
And so sometimes there's a little bit of a change with the different gang affiliations or the gang alliances, but the districts stayed pretty constant, so it really helped knowing some of the gang areas, the gang players, and the conflicts before. And coming into the district, it was getting reacclimated instead of having to learn something brand new as if I went to a district where I wasn't familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, the 9th District, I don't know if you, it was in the news within the last couple of years where there was a lot of murders there between two rival factions that were using rifles.
I didn't hear about that, Jeff.
High-powered rifles, and that was their weapon of choice. They went away from the pistols, and they were using rifles, and in fact, there was a police officer was shot during one of these incidents, and a federal agent was shot.
Wow.
Thankfully, they survived. But, of course, there was a very big clampdown on these gangs after that, and thankfully, we haven't seen them return to that level of violence with the rifles, because we don't want to see the rifles out there. They're just devastating.
So is the summer the worst time? I mean, it's when it gets hot and crazy.
Definitely is. More people are out. More people are on the street. That leads to targets. The other gang can drive by and see people hanging out or passing by, and there's these gang areas. And sometimes, unfortunately, they just drive through that area, and they assume that if this guy is out on that street, he must be a member of that gang.
Wow.
And we see the innocent people hit way too often where the guy has nothing to do with the gang, just happens to be walking down the street or coming home from work.
Yeah.
But the other gang just assumes, well, you're on that block, you must be a member of that gang. And it's not the case.
I'll tell you, if I lived in those neighborhoods, I'd be all for concealed carry. I'd be carrying, that's for sure.
There's quite a few people are.
Yeah, and I don't blame them one bit.
And there's been some calls recently from some of the politicians that have said, maybe more people should arm themselves to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary out there.
It can be.
Got any more stories?
Well, there's always a lot of fun stuff. Actually, I had the chance to work. I'm a big White Sox fan.
As am I.
And my sister is actually a Cubs fan. I don't know how that all worked out, but
the rest of the family moved to Ireland for a while?
She did, yeah.
Holy
the rest
cow.
Of the family are Sox fans, but
okay.
I had a chance to work.
You're a Northsider, and a Sox fan. Good for you.
Yes. And so the Crosstown Classic was being held at Sox Park.
Yeah.
And so Saturday night.
That's your
Sunday.
District.
Right. Yeah. So I was served as the so-called, sounds lofty, it's not really a big deal, but the incident commander for that. So
for that game?
For both games, the Saturday and the Sunday game.
Yeah.
So, of course, both games were sold out. There's a big rivalry, of course. And the weather was nice, so that drew people out. But it was, and I've attended Crosstown Classic games. I've seen them at Sox Park.
I've seen them at Wrigley
as a fan myself.
Yeah.
This was different seeing it from the other perspective of from the security and the law enforcement side. And it was the Saturday night game was very festive, shall we say. there may have been some ejections. There may have been some unhappy fans, but a little bit too much festivities.
Yeah.
But it turned out well, and the Sox won the second game. Cubs won the first game. So I think everyone was at least had a little bit of satisfaction.
Somebody said that I think the people who epitomized this was the Legue family. Do you remember them?
I do. Yes.
They punched Don Zimmer or somebody like that.
They ran on the field and attacked a third base coach.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
that was a mess.
But that was a Sox game, of course.
Yeah, the Cubs have had their little moments here and there.
But
that was not the White Sox fan most glamour. Here's a quick story. It's not a police story, but it's a baseball story. You saw my youngest son here.
Yeah.
He's my only son, but he's at the time he was maybe 2 years old.
How old is he now?
He's 5 now.
Yeah.
So I'm walking in my neighborhood.
What's his name?
His name's Connor.
Connor. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm walking him. He's actually, well, not walking him. I'm walking. He's in the stroller. We're going down the street. I'm wearing a White Sox jacket, and I'm walking my dog.
And where was this?
This was over by where I used to live, by Belmont and Oak Park Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Actually in the 25th District.
Yeah.
So we're walking down the near the park, and I'm wearing my White Sox jacket. Walking this, and my dog is one of those golden doodles, so a big furry golden retriever poodle mix, furry, happy-go-lucky dog. And here's me with the baby in the stroller, young kid in the stroller, and some lady pulls up and rolls down her window, and I'm thinking she's gonna, either say, "Oh, cute dog," or "What a cute baby," or something like that, or. And she looks at me and she goes, "White Sox suck." And she drives off. And I said, "You got to be kidding." I was flabbergasted.
And you got your kid with you?
Yeah, I'm wearing my White Sox jacket. I was like, "Really? That's what you say to a guy walking this cuddly dog and this little baby?" And
because you were on the north side, that's why.
I guess so. Yeah.
Billy's a big Cub fan.
it's a good rivalry. I like it.
It is a good rivalry.
For sure. Yeah. We're lucky to have two teams like that in the city.
Now, when you were at Lane Tech, did you go to college?
I did, actually. You know, I went into the military, and I was able to use the GI Bill.
Oh, no kidding. What military branch were you in?
Army Reserve. And some time in the Army National Guard as well,
Yeah.
And so I did that. And I always kind of thought about being a police officer, I said. And actually, in the family tradition, I guess maybe a little bit of it is in the blood.
Was your dad a cop?
No, but my uncle and one of my uncles in Ireland was.
Oh,
but
he was a Garda.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
And then my grandfather's brother was a police officer, and then their father was a police officer.
Good.
So, and I didn't trace back any further than that. But
yeah.
So it was always in the back of my mind. One time during a visit to Ireland, my uncle brought the squad car round by the house where we were visiting, my aunt. And he was in his uniform, and he turned the lights on. He let us, play with the lights a little bit. And I thought,
it's cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. And I was kind of stayed in my mind with that. So when the chance came to try law enforcement, I did. And then just say how it goes as in a circle sometime. My cousins were over from Limerick just this last summer, and he has two young boys, and I brought the squad car
by
the house, and I let them turn on the lights and the spotlight and play with it a little bit there.
Yeah,
And I told him the story. I said, "Hey, that was your father had done that, and now his sons were able to do it in the Chicago police car."
Yeah,
it was very nice. Yeah. It was nice.
Now, do you get back to Ireland very often?
It's been a long time for me, actually. My mom and my sister were there not too long ago. I do plan on taking the kids there. And this is one of the sad things is, we just had an uncle pass away not too long ago. And one of my daughters mentioned, she goes, "Oh, we never met him." And I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
That's a shame. So I'm hoping to go next summer. That's the plan.
Oh, good.
Just to get him back there to see the family and do some visiting.
And where's the family at? Where are they?
We do have some family in Belfast, some family still in Dundalk and Newry, and then also in Limerick.
Cool.
As well, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So a little bit around the island there. We get to see a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing like it's a preview. I'm bringing 39 people in October.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. We go every year. We bring a group every year. It's a blast.
Oh, I bet they'll love it.
If I live through it.
Pace yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, we've been talking to Captain Brendan McCrudden. You ever get any beef about your name?
I've heard a few different variations on it.
Okay. That's funny.
But that's
He's captain of the 9th District, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Great place to work. A lot of great coppers there.
Chicago's proud of you, Brendan. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Come back again.
Please.
You're just a terrific guest. He doesn't look like a cop. You do look like Sam Elliott. Do you know him? A younger version of Sam Elliott,
yes.
You got that kind of thing about you.
There's worse people to look like.
No, you're just a guy you don't want to mess with, anyway, so keep your eyes out for Captain Brendan McCrudden, and God bless you. Stay safe on the job.
God bless, and thanks for bringing this out, and
absolutely.
Thank you for your support of the police and the fire and all the first responders.
Thank you, Brendan. God bless you. We're going to be right back after these messages from our friends on Hibernian Radio.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
with a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hibernian Radio. God, what a beautiful night it is out here on the river, the Chicago River. Join us, folks. Every Wednesday night we're here meeting with Irish first responders, getting their stories and telling you stories. And I wanted to, speaking of stories, I don't know if you've got your copy of the Irish American News July issue. I may have spoken of this before. But as many of you know, I was a columnist in that great paper for over 20 years and finally stopped. People wondered, hey, well, did you get fired or what? I said, hey, how can you get fired from a gig that doesn't pay, right? But I tell the whole story on page 48 of the July issue of the Irish American News. And you can also see a beautiful picture of my cousin Megan modeling the Hooli Hater T-shirts. She's a buxom gal. but it's all, the whole story is in there, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. A lot of people have, and I'm proud of it. And so check that out, and my best. Hey, and speaking of which, get the Irish American News. We'll be plugging them later, Cliff Carlson. But it's got all the news of the Irish American and Irish community here in Chicago. Everything you want to know is right in there. Okay. Now, Billy, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons and see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, holy, who died? Now, this one hits pretty close to home. Patricia Flood, 94, the mother of our old friend and former sponsor, Bob Flood. She was the loving mother of Bob, who's, of course, married to Susan, Kevin, Mary Pat, Colleen, Brian, Thomas, Michael, Eileen, Martin, James, Daniel, and the late Sheila. The cherished grandmother of 46, great-grandmother of 26, an amazing woman. She and her husband, Pat, and her husband, Robert, were the proud recipients of the Cornerstone Award for Faith from Notre Dame High School in Niles. Today, Wednesday, was the wake, and I think tomorrow, Thursday, is the funeral out at St. James Church in Arlington Heights. In lieu of flowers, contributions to the Danny Did Foundation, which is a great group of people, the Stanton family. So the Floods have been awfully good to me and Skinny and this show, so we want to say a prayer for Mrs. Flood, and God rest her lovely soul. Also, Catherine Byrne, Katie Byrne, somehow her death notice got lost in my briefcase. Speaking of which, well, I'll get to that. So, God rest her soul, Katie Byrne. And also, my old pal, Robert Hosty, 70, good guy from my neighborhood in River Forest where I raised my kids. And the Hosties are a great family. But the interesting thing about Robert was that he was a huge guy. I got to be 6'6", probably 350 pounds. He was a giant. And a great sense of humor and everything. But about maybe 10 years ago, his son, Robbie, who was a friend of my son's, they went through grammar school together and hung around in high school, died in a tragic swimming incident out in Michigan, and just broke everybody's heart in the neighborhood. And I can never forget his mom and dad standing up there in front of the coffin at the funeral. And just Hosties are terrific people. So God rest his soul, Rob Hosty. And that is all. You know, it's funny, I don't know if I told you folks, but last week we got hit with a deluge out here while we were interviewing Detective Bill Hennigan, and he's going to have to come back because we got creamed. And I also lost all the obits that night. Everything out here got soaked. As a matter of fact, Billy, if you look at my briefcase, it's like, looks like a turtle or something. Anyway, if I missed your relative or loved one, just send me an email, MikeHoolihan7@gmail.com. The other big news is the trip, our annual trip to Ireland, Hooli's Crack and Music Tour of Ireland 2019, which is happening October 11th to the 19th, and we're bringing Southside Irish Balladeer Liam Durkin on the trip for his first trip to Ireland. It's sold out. Sold out, folks. So we want to thank all the Irish American News readers for helping it make it a sellout. And I don't think we've ever been sold out on a trip this early in the year. I mean, the trip's not till October. So thanks to all for that, and I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun with all 40 of you in October, October 11th and the 19th. And also I want to give a shout-out to the Emerald Society of Illinois, the Irish American Police Association, of which I am a member. They're having an annual family picnic, food, beverages, entertainment, games, prizes provided. Bring the kids. Sunday, August 4th, noon, at Lions Woods, South Des Plaines and River Road. And all members are encouraged to bring new prospective members to any and all meetings and events. And we hope all members will support this endeavor, and I will support it right now by doing this. I'm going to try and get out there, maybe bring my grandson, Mikey. I called his house the other day, and he answered the phone, and he's four. And I said, get your mom, will you? And he said, no, I don't want to. I said, what? Go get your mother. She's downstairs. I said, you're going to get a whack when I get over there. Anyway, he's a funny kid. So that's the annual family picnic, Emerald Society of Illinois, at Lions Woods. Starts at noon, probably goes into the evening. Des Plaines and River Road. I'm going to try and be there, so hope to see you there. And what else have we got here? Oh, maybe a couple of, don't forget our old pals over at Barney Callahan's, 10618 Southwestern Avenue, and say hello to Mary and Bernard, the perfect Southside Irish pub. Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern Avenue. Or visit our friends Dawn and Mike Courtney over the Twisted Shamrock over at 64th and Central. That's the greatest Irish pub in the Midway area. Just a terrific spot. And say hello to Mike and Dawn and tell them Hooley sent you. And don't forget our friends at the Irish American News, Cliff Carlson. I don't have his number in front of me. I think it's 847-872-0200. I'm guessing, though. But do pick up the paper and get yourself a copy of page 48, because pretty funny. Okay, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back with, I believe, some Hooley Town. So stick around.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal Hooley. Thanks.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here with Hibernian Radio. Heading into the home stretch. We're having a blast out here at Lizzie McNeil's. Please join us. And don't forget, if you're in the market for a car, an automobile, go see my friends Dick and Bill Haggerty over at Mike Haggerty Buick Chevrolet Volkswagen. They sell everything. I got a used car from them. Ooh, maybe 2 years ago, it only had 14,000 miles on it. It's got 40 now. It's a gem. 2014 Toyota. What a great deal. And they took care of me. So if you're looking, and if you're, especially if you're a first responder and you need a set of wheels or an extra set of wheels, or maybe for your kid or whatever, I'm telling you, go and see Mike or Dick Haggerty. Tell them Hooley sent you. They'll take good care of you. They're over at 93rd and Cicero in Oak Lawn. Okay, now where was I? Oh, I know where we're going. I know where we're going with this one. We're going to Hooleydown.
Deep, deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The
what?
Oh. Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hoolytown. Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown. My favorite place, folks. Because you never know what's going to happen here in old Hoolytown. And boy, what a night tonight over here on the river. Okay, so I wonder if, excuse me, Billy, if you could please give me a hand with this horse. Push it. Caged Cosby calling for his dead daughter. Insiders say the 82-year-old sex fiend's mind is fading fast.
Who cares?
John Belushi killer is now a shunned outcast. Ex-con Kathy Smith scraped by on disability and is banned from bars.
Who cares?
Gary Coleman's multi-million dollar fortune vanished in the thin air before his tragic death. Child actor sued his parents for allegedly spending his Hollywood dough.
Who cares?
Michael Douglas moves into Kirk's garage. Star wants to keep close watch on the century-old parents.
Who cares?
And finally, the Queen snubs Harry and Meghan. The monarch is too busy for baby Archie's christening.
Who cares?
Close it up. Push it. Oh, let me get that latch at the top. Billy, reach up there and get that latch. Ah, thank you. Okay. Just got to love that Hoolytown. You know, I ran into Skinny the other day, and he told me a joke that I thought was kind of amusing. And here it is. What does a British gentleman say when he walks into his home and finds someone standing there? Hello. What does a British gentleman say when he walks into his apartment and sees his wife engaged in unmentionable acts with another gentleman? What does he say? Hello. Hello. Thank you. Okay. A wife, it's kind of a similar story. A wife comes home late one night, arriving early from being out of town, and quietly opens the door to her bedroom. From under the blanket, she sees four legs instead of two. She reaches for a baseball bat and starts hitting the blanket as hard as she can. Once she's done and the screaming has subsided, she goes to the kitchen to have a drink. As she enters, she sees her husband there reading a magazine. Hi, darling. Your parents have come to visit, so I let them stay in our bedroom. Okay. Hang on. I got some good ones tonight, actually. One hot summer day, a blonde gal came to town with her dog. She tied it under the shade of a tree and headed into a restaurant for something cold to drink. 20 minutes later, a policeman entered the restaurant, and it might have been even Captain Brendan McCrudden, for all we know. He entered the restaurant and asked, "Who owns the dog tied up under the tree outside?" The blonde said it was hers. "Your dog seems to be in heat," the officer said. The blonde replied, "No way. She's cool in the shade of that tree." The policeman said, "No, you don't understand. Your dog needs to be bred." "No way," said the blonde. "My dog doesn't need bread. She isn't hungry because I fed her this morning." The exasperated policeman said, "No, you don't understand. Your dog wants to mate." The blonde looked at the cop and said, "Well, go ahead. I always wanted a police dog." Okay. Why are we so tough on the blondes? I don't know. An elderly lady was invited to an old friend's home for dinner one evening. She was impressed by the way her lady friend preceded every request to her husband with endearing terms such as "honey," "my love," "darling," "sweetheart," etc. The couple had been married almost 60 years, and clearly they were still very much in love. While the husband was in the living room, her lady friend leaned over to her hostess to say, "I think it's wonderful that after all these years, you still call your husband all those loving names." The hostess hung her head and said, "I have to tell you the truth. His name slipped my mind about 10 years ago, and I'm scared to death to ask the cranky old jerk what it is." Okay. Two more from Hoolytown? Okay. One day, a biker dies and finds himself in hell. As he is wallowing in despair, he has his first meeting with the devil. Satan says, "Hey, why so glum?
Well, what do you think? I'm in hell."
"Hey, come on. Hell's not so bad. We actually have a lot of fun down here. You a drinking man?" "Well, sure. I love to drink." "Well, you're going to love Mondays then. On Mondays, that's all we do is drink. Bombay, Sapphire, tequila, Guinness, red wine, single malt, scotch. We drink till we throw up. Then we drink some more. And you don't have to worry about getting a hangover because you're dead anyway." "Gee, that sounds great." "Yeah. You a smoker?" "You better believe it." "All right. You're going to love Tuesdays. We get the finest cigars from all over the world. Smoke our lungs out. If you get cancer, hey, no biggie. You're already dead, remember?" "Wow. That's awesome. I bet you like to gamble." "Why, yes. As a matter of fact, I do." "Good. Because Wednesdays, you can gamble all you want. Craps, blackjack, roulette, poker, slots, whatever. If you go bankrupt, it doesn't matter. You're dead." "Cool. What about drugs?" "Are you kidding? I love drugs." "You don't mean..." "That's right. Thursday is drug night. Help yourself to a great big bowl of crack or smack. Smoke a doobie the size of a submarine. You can do all the drugs you want. You're dead, so who cares?" "Wow, I never realized hell was such a cool place. Are you gay?" "No." "Well, Fridays ain't going to be so much fun." "I'm sorry. Some people might say that's homophobic." "But I don't care. Okay, one more." "Okay. One more. Okay, this is kind of a sad story. It's about my aging Aunt Mildred. She's a 93-year-old woman who's particularly despondent over the recent death of her husband. She decided that she would just kill herself and join him in death. Thinking that it would be best to get her over quickly, she took out his old army pistol and made the decision to shoot herself in the heart, since it was badly broken in the first place. Not wanting to miss the vital organ and become a vegetable and a burden to someone, she called her doctor's office to inquire as just exactly where the heart would be on a woman. The doctor said your heart would be just below your left breast. Later that night, Mildred was admitted to the hospital with a gunshot wound to her knee. Okay. That's all. They're leaving Holy Town behind. But we could be back there next week. Hey, come on by next week. We got Chicago Fire Department veteran Alan Webb, who's also from Ireland. He'll be on the show, and a lot of his fans are coming. So come and join us down here on the balcony, on the patio at Lizzie McNeil's. And thanks so much for listening. Big shout out to all our sponsors, but particularly Mike Haggerty, Buick, GMC, Volkswagen. You're looking for a car, get your butt over there, and they'll take good care of you. Tell them Uli sent you. See you later. Thanks for coming, and God bless you all.
And I buckled up my shoes, and then I started walking. Shoes, and I started walking.